Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Hey. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Acha ben Rav Chanina said that a good decree never issued from the mouth of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was then retracted, except in the following case. In the times of Yechezkel, a Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach Gavriel to put the letter Saf on the heads of the Tzaddikim so they shouldn't be wiped out in a Megefa, in a plague. The Midas Adin asked why the Tzaddikim should be spared, since they should have protested. When Akush Baruch Hu responded that he knew that people would have not responded to the rebuke, the Midas Adin answered back that the Tzaddikim didn't know that, and therefore they should have tried. Akush Baruch Hu subsequently rescinded his decree, and the Tzaddikim were not spared. Point number two, Shmuel said that the Saf Akush Baruch Hu chose to put on the Tzaddikim's head represented Tama Schus Avos. The merit of the Avos has expired. And the Gemara wants to know at what point the merits expired. Rav said in the days of the Navi Hosea. Shmuel said in the days of Hazael, the king of Aram, who oppressed Bnei Israel in the days of Yehoahaz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the days of Eliyahu. And Rabbi Yochanan said in the days of Chizkiyahu. And point number three, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Omer Reuven Chata Eino Ela Toa. Whoever says that Reuven has sinned is mistaken. For it says in the Pasuk, V'yu Bnei Yaakov Shnaimasar. And the sons of Yaakov are 12, which teaches all 12 are equal. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quoted in the Brisa teaches that the pasuk Yishkav is Bila Pelegesh Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father, is to be interpreted to mean that he sought to address an affront to his mother. Wait, he said, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, shall the maidservant of my mother's sister be a rival to my mother? So therefore Reuben moved Yaakov's bed to her tent. The Gemara subsequently brings up Rice with the Malchokas Tanaim, whether in fact Reuben had relations with Bila. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Acha ben Rav Chanina said that a good decree never issued from the mouth of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was then retracted, except in the following case. In the times of Yechezkel, Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach Gavriel to put the letter Saf on the heads of the Tzaddikim so they should not be wiped out in the Megefa, in the plague. The Midas Adin asked why the Tzaddikim should be spared, since they should have protested. When Kadosh Baruch Hu responded, they knew that people would have not responded to their rebuke. The Midas Adin answered back that the Tzaddikim didn't know that, and therefore they should have tried. Kadosh Baruch Hu subsequently rescinded the decree, and the Tzaddikim were not spared. Point number two, Shmuel said that the Saf HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to put on the Tzaddikim's heads represented Tama Schus Avos. The Schusim, the merit of the Avos, has expired. The Gemara wants to know at what point the merits expired. Rav said in the days of the Navi Hosea. Shmuel said in the days of Hazael, the king of Aram, who oppressed Bnei Israel in the days of Yehoahaz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the days of Eliyahu, and Rabbi Yochanan said in the days of Chizkiyahu. And point number three, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Kol Omer Reuven Chata Eino Ela Toa. Whoever says that Reuven sinned is mistaken. For it says in the Pasuk, V'yu Bnei Yaakov Shneimasar, and the sons of Yaakov were 12, which teaches all 12 were equal. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quoted in the Brisa teaches that the Pasuk, V'yishkav is Bila Pelegesh Aviv, and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father, is to be interpreted to mean that he sought to address an affront to his mother. He said, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, shall the maidservant to my mother's sister be a rival to my mother? Therefore, Reuven moved Yaakov's bed to her tent. And the Gemara subsequently brings a brisa with the Malchokas Tanaim, whether in fact Reuven had relations with Bila. All right, so now we go to our simon, and the simon for Nun Hey actually came to us by way of two Zichru members when we had the Choose a Simon contest back in Maseches Brachas. So both Naftali Golombek and Mordechai Kornbluth recommended 55 as the speed limit, because in the United States, the national speed limit for many years was 55. So we use a speed limit sign with a fig 55 on it. So here it goes. The race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had schus avos when he lost control of his car and crashed into a tent with a bed. Once again, in slow motion. The race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker. Speed limit, that means Ron Duff Nun Hey. The race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead, which reminds us, Rav Acha ben Rav Chanina said that a good decree never issued from the mouth of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was then retracted, except in the following case. In the times of Yechezkel, Kadosh Baruch Hu told the Malach Gavriel to put the letter Saf on the heads of the Tzaddikim so they should not be wiped out in a Megefa, in a plague. The Midas Adin asked why the Tzaddikim should be spared, so they should have protested. When Kadosh Baruch Hu responded that he knew the people would not have responded to the rebuke, the Midas Adin answered back that the Tzaddikim didn't know that, and therefore they should have tried. Akash Baruch Hu subsequently rescinded his decree, and the Tzaddikim were not spared. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had schus avos, which reminds us Shmuel said that the Saf Akash Baruch Hu chose to put on the Tzaddikim's heads represented Tama schus avos, the the merit of the avos has expired. The Gemara wants to know at what point the merit's expired. Rav said in the days of the Navi Hosea. Shmuel said in the days of Hazael, the king of Aram, who oppressed Bnei Yisrael in the days of Yehoachaz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said in the days of Eliyahu, and Rabbi Yochanan said in the days of Chizkiyahu. So the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had zchus avos when he lost control of his car and crashed into a tent with a bed. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, Ko Omer Reuven Chata Eino Elatoa. Whoever says that Reuven sinned is mistaken, for it says in the Pasuk, V'yu b'nei Yaakov shneimasar, and the sons of Yaakov were 12, which teaches all 12 were equal. Rabbi Shimon Elazar quoted in the Brisa teaches that the Pasuk V'yishkav is Bilah, Pelegesh Aviv, and he lay with Bilah, the concubine of his father, is to be interpreted to mean that Reuven sought to address an affront to his mother Leah. He said, if my mother's sister, meaning Rachel, was a rival to my mother, shall the maids from my mother's sister be a rival to my mother? Therefore, Reuven moved Yaakov's bed to her tent. And the Gemara subsequently brings a brisa with a Malchus Tanaim whether, in fact, Reuven had relations with Bilah. So once again, the race car driver with a speed limit sign sticker stuck on his forehead realized he no longer had zchus avos when he lost control of his car and crashed into a tent with a bed. Now it's time for a four blah bach chazara. Daf Ninov. So the Simfer Ninov is a gnawing beaver, which connects us to a beaver pelt hat. So that's our simon, a beaver pelt hat. The Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, that means we're on Daf Ninov. The Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo, insulating their cold food, which reminds us, when it was reported that Shmuel ruled that one may insulate something cold on Shabbos to keep it cold, Rav Yosef wanted to know why Shmuel needed to teach this when the Mishnah stated very clearly that it was permitted. So Abaye answered that without Shmuel, one might have thought that the Mishnah only permitted insulating cold water, which is not usually heated up through placing it under a pillow, and therefore there is no concern that one would heat up water in this fashion, thereby violating the prohibition of Atmana. Food, however, which is normally covered by a pillow in order to warm up, would be prohibited to insulate to keep cold, lest one come to insulate it to warm up. So Shmuel's coming to teach that it's permitted to insulate even cold foods as well. So the Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo insulating their cold food and melting ice in their drinks, which reminds us, a brisa states that one may not crush snow or hail on Shabbos in order to make it into a liquid. It is permitted, however, to place them into a cup or bowl of liquid. Rashi explains that the Rabbanim forbade crushing the snow or hail into water because one is creating something new, it's nolad, and therefore it has the appearance of a malacha. However, placing them into a cup of wine, as an example, in order to cool the wine in the summer, or into a bowl, is not a problem, though, since the snow and hail melt on their own and not as a result of one's direct actions. So the Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo insulating their cold food and in melting ice in their drinks, while their Arctic camels stood outside in their excessive restraints. Which reminds us, the first mission in the fifth parak states that it is permitted to let one's camel go out into Rosh Hashanah wearing a halter, an afsar, and a female dromedary wearing a nose ring, a chotem, and it's not considered that the animal is doing the malach of a hotzah. The reason for this is that since they both serve to restrain the animal, they're not considered a burden, they're not considered a masui, which would be prohibited to carry, but rather as clothes. Rebbe was asked what the case would be if the restraints were switched, meaning if a camel may wear a nose ring and a female dromedary may wear a halter. Rebbe responded that it's obvious that the female dromedary cannot go out with the halter, with the afsar, since it is a feistier animal, and the halter, the afsar, will not restrain it. Therefore, the halter would be considered a burden. Rebbe said the only question is regarding the nose ring, the chotem, for the camel, which is considered an excessive restraint for it. On the one hand, since it's an excessive restraint, it's not necessary, and therefore maybe it's considered a burden. Or perhaps we don't say an excessive restraint is considered a burden. And this discussion continues on Daf Nun Beis. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simfer Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie, that means we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video, which reminds us, Rav holds that an excessive restraint is considered a burden and is therefore prohibited for an animal to be restrained with it on Shabbos due to the prohibition of Hotzah. So this was challenged from a Brisa that stated that if the owner of a Paraduma tied a leash to it, the Paraduma is still valid. Now, a leash is considered an excessive restraint for a Paraduma, and if an excessive restraint is considered a burden, then it should disqualify the Paraduma, which is not permitted to carry burdens. Three Amoraim defended Rav, explaining that in this case, the extra restraint was necessary, and therefore it was not considered excessive to be classified as a burden. Abai said the Braisa was referring to a cow that was being transported to a different city, and therefore it required extra restraint so that it would not turn back. Rav explained that since the parduma is so rare and priceless, it needs to be guarded with extra care. And Ravina said that Bryce was referring to a rebellious cow, which required extra restraint. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the how to transport a parduma on a leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars, which reminds us the Mishnah stated that one may sprinkle mechatas, the ash water of the parduma, upon a collar of an animal or immerse the collar in a mikveh even while it's on the animal's neck. This seems to contradict a Mishnah in Kehilim that states that a ring of an animal is not capable of becoming tameh. So Rabbi Yitzchak answered that the collar was initially noy adam, a person's adornment, which then was transferred to become noy behema, an animal adornment. And Rashi explains that the ring became tameh while it was still a person's adornment. Rabbi Yosef explained that since a person pulls an animal, the collar, it's classified as a human utensil, not an animal utensil. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the how to transport a parduma on a leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars and vessels losing their ability to become tameh through destructive physical changes. Which reminds us, a mishnah from Kalim was brought that taught that all kalim, all utensils, become susceptible to contract tuma through machshava, through thought, if the craftsman decides he'll use it without adding more to it. But they do not lose their capacity to contract tuma, to be makabel tuma, unless there was a shinui emaisa, a physical change. Rabbi Yehuda taught in a bright that when the Tana of the Mishnah said it loses its capacity to be makabel tuma through a maisa, through an action, he was only referring to a maisa that brought about a destructive physical change. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simfer Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that means we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feed bag and saddle cloth, which reminds us. There's Malchus bin Rav and Shmuel regarding what one can place on an animal on Shabbos. Rav holds that one may place a feed bag, a troskel, on an animal, which is for its pleasure, since it will not need to bend down to get food, and all the more so, one may place a saddle cloth, a mardas, on it to keep it warm and alleviate its suffering from the cold. Shmuel holds that only the saddle cloth is permitted in order to alleviate the suffering, but the feed bag is prohibited since it's only there to provide comfort. And Rashi explains that according to Shmuel, putting the feedback on the animal would be an unnecessary exertion on Shabbos. So the Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feedback and saddle cloth, passing out kameis for people on their animals, which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a contradiction between a brice which states that an animal may not go out wearing a kameh, an amulet, even if it has proven effective. And a Mishnah states that a person may not go out with a kameh that has not proven effective, implying that one may go out with a kameh that has proven effective. So the Gemara answers that the Bryce is referring to a kameh that has proven effective for people, but is not proven effective for animals. And the Gemara clarifies that since a person has mazel, which Rashi explains to mean a malach, an angel, he's assisted in being healed. The animal lacking mazel doesn't get the extra assistance, and therefore the kameh may not be effective. So the Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feedback and saddle cloth, passing out kamehs for people and their animals and golden coins to the man who needed a wet nurse for his son. Which reminds the Gemara relates a miracle that occurred to a poor man who did not have enough money to hire a wet nurse after his wife died. Miraculously, his breast opened and he was able to nurse his son. So Rav Yosef said the man must have been great to have such a miracle performed for him. Abai said that on the contrary, the man must have been inferior, for the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rashi explains that this man did not marry to have the Shari Schar, the gates of income, open for him. Rav Yehuda said that one can learn from this incident how difficult it is to provide a person sustenance. For instead of the poor man's sustenance being provided, the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rav Nachman supported Rav Yehuda's observation by pointing out that miracles happen to save people's lives, but food is rarely created. Daf Nun Dalet. So the Simfer Nun Dalet is noodles. Noodles, so here goes. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles. Noodles, that means we're on Daf Nun Dalet. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that camels may not go out akud, bound, or ragul, hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Rav Yehuda follows the Tana that says that akud means the binding of hand and foot, in the same way that Yitzhak was tied up by Avram Avinu. One brisa states that it's either tying up the two front legs or the hind legs together. And a second brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal, and the animal would be considered caring. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Eshi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalaim. The Gemara suggests the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the kalaim of the ropes. If one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, a tekifa achas, between wool and linen is not considered a combination, not considered chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kolayim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Ravashi, was the kolayim of ropes, and when the Mishnah stated, provide he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provide that he does not make two knots, which would be an issue of kolayim. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's legs, chains, and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns like the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out since it's considered carrying a burden. The Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people that they can have an influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Where do we learn that it's permitted to extinguish burning metal in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 2. Which Daf do you learn about Tama Schus Avos? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 3. Where do we have the question about moving a corpse out of the sun in the Malchokas about Tiltal Menatzah? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Great. Number 4. Where do you learn about the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? That's on Daf Nun Dalad. Great. Number 5. Where do we discuss Kameas for people and animals? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Great. Number 6. Where do we learn that one who says that Reuven sinned is mistaken? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 7. Where do we learn that cooking eggs in sand is prohibited? That's on Daf Lamates. Great. Number 8. Where do we discuss the leash for a parduma is considered a must? We consider it a burden. That's on Daf Nun Beis. Good. Number 9. Where do we have the concern about camel ropes being kolayim? That's on Daf Nun Dalad. Great. Number 10. Where do we have the question if an excessive restraint for an animal is considered a burden? That's on Daf Nun Aleph. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Where do we learn that the Baal Bais is both say he's one who breaks bread, but it's the Oreich, it's the guest that says the Yi Ratzon? That's on Daf Memvav. Good. Number 2, where do we have the question about a bracha on shlakos on cooked vegetables? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. And finally, number 3, where do we learn that one who wakes up with a pasuk in his mouth is considered like a nevuah katana? That's on Daf Nun Zayin. Great. That concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.